Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now our text for this Thanksgiving Eve is taken from from Paul's epistle to the Colossians, the first chapter, and we will read verses 9 through 14, where we read in the name of our Lord. That's Colossians 1, 9 to 14, reading in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Amen. Let us pray. Most gracious and almighty God, we do indeed thank you for this your word. And we pray, Father, with thanksgiving in our hearts for all the marvelous things that you do. We thank you, Father, for the work that you have wrought in your Son, Jesus the Christ, for the work that you have wrought in us through Jesus the Christ and by the power of your Holy Spirit in creating us anew. And we rejoice, Father, in the many blessings that you continue to pour out upon your people so freely because you are so good. And we pray now, Father, sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. It was interesting, I was listening to somebody talk about Thanksgiving this week on one of the TV people, and they were talking about Thanksgiving, and they said it doesn't really have anything to do with religion. Now, I was kind of wondering what rock they lived under, but last I knew, that's pretty much all it was about. This is not a secular holiday. It's not something that has, it's not just that we get together with family and eat turkey and do things like that. The whole sense of this day, when you even look at the national proclamation that was made and the declaration of this day, was to thank God. The whole purpose when this was first ordained was to thank God, for his many, many blessings. And indeed, the early settlers that came here, we refer to them as the pilgrims. When they came here, they had a very, very difficult time, and the first winter that they spent here was exceptionally difficult, and many of them perished. But we know that by God's grace, they were able to persevere. And so the next year, after they were able to bring forth a bountiful harvest, they gave thanks to God, that God had preserved them, that God had provided them with all of the basic needs that they would have. And this is what really brings us to the sense of thanksgiving. We really come to the place of realizing that there is this God who watches over us, that God keeps us, that God sustains us, that every day, day in and day out, that God keeps us and sustains us. And we come to this place of realization that no matter what the circumstance is, that God remains faithful to his promise, that God remains faithful in making his provision for us, that God does what God says. And this is really what we come to tonight with this text from St. Paul. You know, this is just an amazing chapter of the scripture where he's talking about this. And he's talking about this fact, and we didn't do all of these verses, but in the beginning he talks about this wonderful faith that the Colossians have. And he understands this great love that they possess for all of the fellow believers. He talks about this, and he says, this faith, he says, has given you hope, that you have this hope that is laid up for you in heaven. He says, this hope is established for you in heaven. God has provided this hope for you eternally. And he says, and you heard that. He says, you heard that. He says, in the word of the truth of the gospel. He says, you heard it. He says, this was done for you. And he says, and it's come to you, and it has come to everyone in the world. And that's the amazing thing that he talks about. He says, it's come to you, it's come to everyone in the world, and it brings forth fruit. It produces a yield. And of course, we are all products of that yield. You know, we don't often look at this in the way that St. Paul would have looked at it. To think that go out into a world that knows nothing of which you speak. To go out into the world and declare this gospel of this God who just mercifully chose to be gracious to you. This God that you don't even know. Knowing it, going into all of these foreign areas, this God that you don't even know, and to tell them very clearly, this God that you don't even know, this God sent his only begotten Son to suffer and die on a cross for you, that through his blood you would have peace, that through his blood you would have forgiveness, that through his blood you would come to a new life, that by the power of his resurrection, that you would become immortal. That's really what we're thankful for. You see, when we come down to this, we realize very clearly in all of the world, in all of the population of the world, in all the people that have ever lived, that God, in his grace and his mercy, chose to love us. He chose to give us a gospel that works, a good news that works. He chose to tell us very clearly, I will save you. I will deliver you. I will do this for you. Even though you don't know me, you don't know me. And that's why I love that when Paul goes on the Areopagus in Acts 17, he goes out there and he picks an altar that he's going to use to depict to these pagan people what God is like. And he picks the altar that says, to an unknown God. He says, this God that you don't know, he says, I'm here to tell you who he is. So that you would understand. And this is the foundation of this nation. I don't care what anybody else tells you. You got people wandering all over the place, spreading all sorts of garbage. The foundation of this nation is founded on the fact that that group of people came here expecting full well that God, by his grace, would shed his grace upon them. And they would build a new nation. A nation that was dedicated to that idea, of that realization, of this fullness of thanksgiving, of knowing this. Thanksgiving doesn't have anything to do with religion. Gag me with a spoon. That's one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. That's the whole basis of this day, is to understand and to know the provision of God. God sheds his grace upon us. And we receive it. We receive it freely because he so bids it to be. And that's what Paul says. All the way back to the Colossians, he was telling them, this is what God has done for you. This is what God does for you. He says, so from that day, he says that we knew that you heard this gospel. He says, we don't cease to pray for you. We always pray for you. We pray for you all the time. And we desire that this is what you would come to understand, that you would understand what God has done. He uses these words where he says in the King James Version that you would be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. He says, now, he says, that's what we have asked for you, that you would be filled with God's wisdom, with God's understanding, that you would understand this so that you would walk worthy of that which you have been called to. And what does that mean? Well, it means very clearly, as we have received the gospel, so we give it. We give it. With thankful hearts, we approach our God, understanding the only reason for our existence is God's grace. The only thing that keeps us and sustains us is God's grace. It's only His blessing. And it's His blessing that brings us to this place where it's not enough to bless us, but also He wants to be fully aware, wants us to be fully aware of this, to know this, so that we would acknowledge Him and we would share the gospel with other people. The greatest act of thanksgiving is to be found in imitation of Jesus Christ. Turkeys are wonderful, but the fact of the matter is, the day is about Jesus. It's about His accomplishment. It's about His finished work. It's about the gospel. He says that this is what would happen for us, so that then we would be found doing what God wants us to do, and we would engage the world with the knowledge of God. He says, strengthened, strengthened with all might that there is, all power that there is, strengthened and empowered. He says, according to His own might, that you would endure. That you would endure and be patient. And you understand what He's talking about. Because our problem is we're impatient. We expect that everybody should just come to our understanding of things, and that's just the way it should be. And when they don't, then we're looking for judgment. You know, call down a little fire on these people. That'll teach them a lesson. That's the last thing God ever did. Because if He starts with the fire, it's going to have to begin with me. We understand very clearly in His grace and His mercy, He saw fit to save us by grace. He saw fit to make this provision for us entirely out of His own work, that we ourselves now would be brought into this and be strengthened in such a way that now, by the Spirit of God present within us, that we would be found ministering to the world. And we understand the world needs ministry. It needs help. It does not need condemnation. It's already got a whole passel of that. It needs help. We are thankful because we have received the help. But we are also summoned to be helpers, to bring the fullness of this to fruition. And that's why Paul says, now giving thanks to the Father. We give thanks to the Father, and that's what thanksgiving is for. It's not like it's one day. Thanksgiving is all the time. We give thanks to the Father because He made us suitable, is what this actually says. He made us worthy to have a part of the lot that belongs to all of the consecrated ones in light. He made us worthy to receive, you know, the King James calls it the inheritance of the saints in light. It says to receive this marvelous gift, to be part, to be counted part of those who are consecrated through the blood in light. To live in the fullness of this. And he says, He rescued us. He rescued us from darkness' ability to rule over us and moved us into His Son's kingdom, whom He loves. Do you realize how much God loves us? See, that's the hardest thing for us to really understand. That God loves us so much that God, out of his own grace, out of his own mercy, chose to take us from darkness and move us into the kingdom of Jesus the Christ, to give us the fullness of that blessing. He says, in whom? He says, in Jesus the Christ, we have redemption. And redemption means we've been brought back. It says, in him, we have the redemption. We have been bought back through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. The forgiveness of sins. That's what Thanksgiving is for. It's not just a bunch of people with funny hats and goofy shoes with weird buckles on them that showed up and ate a meal with a bunch of Native Americans. It's about the fact that God, in his grace, watches over his people at every time. And they can simply call upon him. And he will sustain them. And he will bless them. And he will keep them because he's faithful, because he is good, and because his mercy endures forever. And he is gracious, and he is kind to forgive sin, to count it as never having existed, as a matter of fact, and through the blood of his Son, to have granted us an entirely new kingdom, a life eternal. See, this is the reality, and that's why Paul says, that's what we do. We give thanks to the Father. We thank him. We thank him. Because as a matter of fact, there isn't anything else much we can do. We give thanks. We give thanks. And we remember. We remember his gift. Day in and day out, we remember the gift. And what do? We share it. Because we can never exhaust it. The gospel can never be exhausted. It's always to be shared, and it always brings forth fruit. It always brings forth a harvest, no matter what season. Because people are always in need of it. And they will be until the day when he closes the book and everything is done. We need Thanksgiving. People are arguing over whether you start Christmas before Thanksgiving or not, whether you start Christmas before Halloween. I mean, they argue over the stupidest things ever on the face of the earth. Why not just celebrate? Why not just celebrate them? You know, celebrate them, enjoy them, because they are God's gift. They're God's gift to us, so that we would understand and approach him with thanksgiving and love and mercy for the abundant gift that he pours out upon us every year, every day, by his grace and his mercy as he gives us life. And we come to the fullness of the understanding. And we approach him with thankful hearts. And we simply say, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Because you have given us so great a gift. And it is a gift that never ends. The world needs thanksgiving. We all do. And may God grant us to have our hearts full of it. For Jesus' sake, amen. Let us pray. Most gracious and almighty God, we thank you for the abundance of your blessing. How marvelous you are. That, Father, you saw fit to do this work. You saw fit to save us. You saw fit to see us, to give us Jesus. You saw fit to give us eternal life. You saw fit to forgive us from all of our iniquity and wash us in the blood of your Son. And Father, we pray even this day that our hearts would be filled by your Holy Spirit with thanksgiving. That when we see and know the finished work, that, Father, we would embrace it with the fullness of all that we have to embrace it, and we would walk in a way that brings glory to your name, that the gospel would be seen in us and through us, and Father, the world would redound with your glory. These things we ask, Father, in the precious name of Jesus Christ our Lord. And we thank you, Father, for all that you do in him and through him. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion and fellowship of this Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forever. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.